Shastra Shiva, Rabbanim, Hashuvim, Tamidim, Ikarim. My wife is in America. She left last week. She's coming back in Rishon tomorrow. And whenever she goes to Chutz Laaretz, it always puts a bit more of a burden on me. I have to try to play Abba and Mommy together. So yesterday afternoon, I came home from yeshiva. My son had to go for English chug, and obviously my little son, my baby, our baby is 2.5, has to come along for the ride. And he spotted his cuppy in the car. I don't know if you guys have little brothers or little nieces or nephews. Some children are attached to their cuppy. Cuppy is a cup. It's like a sippy cup. He found this. It was missing for a while, and he found the sippy cup. And he wanted it very badly. He wanted it actually at that moment to be filled. He wanted it right then and there. My son was late for his chug because my wife's in America. And I couldn't get it for him at that moment. So I said, don't worry, Dovi, as soon as we get back, I'll get it for you. I picked my son up from chug, come back into the house with my son, older son, and I forgot, obviously, the cuppy in the car. At which point my son, who's 2.5, begins to have a fit and says, I want my cuppy, which is in the car. Not the biggest deal. My car is right near my house. Not the biggest deal in the world. So I asked one of my children, one of my sons, I said, I won't say his name right now. I said, do you mind going to the car and getting the cuppy? My son turned to me and said 3 words. Ein li koach. Which are the 3 words you don't want to hear from your son. Not the biggest deal in the world. Ein li koach. What's pshat ein li koach? I don't have strength to go to the car to get it. What's the real pshat? The real pshat is I was spoiling him. When my wife's in America, I do that a little bit. I just bought him an iced coffee. He would much rather drink his iced coffee upstairs in the house than go to the car and get my son's sippy cup. In the koch it was, and so I went to the car, I got the cup. I don't want to be a psychologist or a psychiatrist, nor overanalyze any story. But I want to try to explain to you over the course of our discussion today a little bit about what Ein L'Koach is about, what Ein L'Koach, where it comes from, where that phrase comes from, and hopefully to develop with you a very, very important midah and midos that hopefully we'll be able to take away from this discussion. In the Torah, we know there's no stories. There's no stam stories in the Torah. We're learning the parshas of Bereishis, the parshas of the Avos and the Imaos, and we read them as though they're stories, storybooks, but it's not stories. Each episode in the Torah is there to teach us a lesson or many lessons. Today is Tuesday, Yom Shlishi B'Shabbos. Smack in the middle between last week's Parsha, Parshas Vayera, and this coming week's Parsha, Parshas Chayisara. And there are many themes in these Parshios, but one theme which comes up in both of these Parshios in a very, very clear way is that of Zrizus, Mehirus. What am I talking about? You probably know on the spot, off the cuff. In last week's parsha, Avraham Avinu greets the Orchim. He's 3 days after his bris milah. He's 100 years old. And he looks up and he sees 3 men who are Arabs, probably. Not exactly the Gedolei Hadar. And he runs. He runs to greet them. And then, when he performs his act of Gemilas Chasadim, Achrasas Orchim, it's not done lethargically, slowly, la'at la'at, like some good rabbis say in this yeshiva. He does it with every ounce of koach. He runs. You look at the psukim, vayimaher ma'ari, vayarat. He's always running, moving on the fly, running so fast to perform the mitzvah of Achrasas Orchim. That's last week's parasha. If we look in this coming week's parasha, we find a similar thing in the episode, which is not really only an episode, of Rivka giving water to Eliezer and his camels at the well. She's a young girl. Who is this guy? He comes with his camels, 10 camels. He's an older man. She doesn't owe him anything. She doesn't just give water, but she's constantly running. Atimaher, says the pasuk. She runs quickly to lower her pitcher from her shoulder. She runs to the well to get more water, constantly moving fast to perform the act of chesed. The Sivas Hasharim, in fact, says, "Melamed shekol ma'aseim shel tzadikim b'mehirus." All the actions of tzadikim are always done swiftly, quickly, fast. What's the Torah trying to portray to us by telling us these stories? What's the takeaway? I read these parashiyos, you read these parashiyos. Shnayim Mikra is a big thing in Shana Aleph. Shana Bet guys, for sure, Shnayim Mikra is in the bag. Certainly in Sefer Bereishis, where it's a little bit easier to learn Shnayim Mikra. What's the message the Torah is trying to impart to us by telling us this idea of Zrizus and doing things quickly as a Jew? There are many thoughts to suggest this question. I'd like to share with you just two, very, very quickly. Pardon the pun. If you're following along, that was kind of a joke. Here we go. Number one, the first one is in Salas, and Silas Hasharim writes that when a person acts quickly and swiftly, it's a sign of what he calls his slatus, hapnimi. It's a sign of excitement. It's a sign of love. When you do things slowly and lethargically, it shows, I'd rather not do it. I'd rather just be doing something else right now. When a person does something with excitement, with love, they do it fast. I'll give you a mashal. One of the boys is not here right now. I have two Dallas boys in my shir. I might be going with two Dallas child boys in my shir, but they might be. So yesterday morning, I try to catch up a little bit on Monday morning with football, what's going on a little bit with the guys, so I can relate a little bit as a Rebbe. So I walked into shir. I didn't have to ask Shimon, who should have before Shlema. I didn't have to ask him who won the Cowboys game. I looked at his face, and he said, "We won, Rebbe. We won. There's such excitement. We won. We're three in a row. We won. We won." We is the Cowboys. He's obviously, you know, an honorary member of the Dallas Cowboys. "We won with such enthusiasm, with such simcha, because it's his team." He watched the game till 3 a.m. To his credit, came to shir on time the next morning. But he watched the game not like, okay. He watched the game because it's his team. He loves them. When a person does something with excitement, eslavas, that shows that they love it. Number one. Number two, the Chazon Ish writes an incredible thing. The Chazon Ish, the Sefer Emunah Bitachon, in the beginning of the fourth chapter, writes the following incredible thing. We know there are many, many midos that comprise a person. A person has many midos, many different character traits. Says the Chazon Ish, that's true. That's true. We have individual, unique character traits, but there's also one shoresh, one root, which is the root of all bad midos, all bad character, and one root of all good midos. And what is that? Says the Chazon Ish. Leaving things alone, letting nature take its course, that's the root of all bad midos. Says the Chazon Ish, if you want, you could be a gevaldika balgaiva and a gevaldika kasan, a gevaldika angry person. You'll be a perfect angry person, because you'll just keep your natural teva, your natural nature the way it is, and not move one bit, and stay the same. That's the root of all bad midos, says the Chazon Ish. And the root of all good midos is not letting your nature take control of you. He writes beautiful words. Levakeret regesh ha-musari al regesh ha-tavani. To allow a person's musar, to allow a person's etiquette, to allow his character, proper good midos, to overtake, to take control of his taivos, of his desires, of his natural inclinations. Zrizus, Rabosai, is possibly one of those midos which a person has to go totally against his nature. Totally against nature. It's very hard. As we'll see in a minute or two, it's very, very difficult. And perhaps when the Torah tells us these episodes of Avram and Rivka and Sarah and all their zrizus, it's to show us the importance of zrizus, because it's so fundamental in our tikkun hamidos, in our avodas Hashem. And I want to ask now $1 million question. Here's the $1 million question. If zrizus, if doing things with excitement and haste is so important, it shows a person's love of Hashem, it's a way to be metakein, to fix one's midos. Here's the question. Why is it that it's so difficult for us to serve Hashem with zrizus? Let me explain a little bit. There's a Rebbe in this yeshiva, his name is Elmaleh. You may recognize him, because sometimes at around 9:45 in the morning, or 9:50, or 10 o'clock, or a little later, he comes to the dorms and does a sweep. What's he doing? He's pulling us out of bed. Why? Because we don't want to get out of bed. But why not? It's so good. It shows our love of Hashem. How come sometimes, Rabbi Yisrael, we come into a minyan? I don't want to say in this yeshiva, but somewhere else maybe. And it looks more like a library at best. Or maybe like a morgue, chas v'shalom. There's no life. There's no life at all in the room. How come when it comes to learning sometimes, it's so hard for us and we just to show excitement for learning? How? Why? Why is it so difficult for us? I'd like, once again, just to suggest two thoughts, come back to my son a little bit, and try to develop a very important idea. Number one, you know why it's so difficult for us to live our lives with Jesus? The reason is because it's very hard. What does that mean? It means our nature is to chill. I'm not only talking about people in this room from Los Angeles, who like, you know, Los Angeles is known as the chill capital of the world. I'm not talking about that only. Even if you're from Teaneck, or from the Five Towns, or from anywhere in between, and across America, and the Brits, shout out to the Brits, we love to chill. Our nature is to relax. Mr. Sharon writes, we come from Earth. We're very heavy naturally. It's hard for us. When my son last night said, Ein li koach, what he was really saying was, Abba, I'm not feeling it. I'd much rather drink my iced coffee than go to the car and get the bottle, the cuppy for you, because I don't want to. And it's very hard. And as we know, to change a person's midah is very, very difficult. Mesillas Yesharim writes a very, very strong line, Chizuk gadol. A person requires a tremendous amount of strength to change their teva on its side. So reason number one, possibly, is because it's very hard. That's not the main reason. We all know that even though sometimes things in life are hard for us, we overcome the hardship and do them. Whatever the case may be. There was a World Series last week. People wanted to watch the game. Somehow it's hard to stay up till 3 in the morning, but we could do it. We have a very, very exciting supper. We're really tired. Somehow we'll manage to get into that cab or onto that train to go for our supper. So what's the real reason why it's so hard for us to live our lives with Jesus? I think if we think about it, and I did before this shmooze, if we think about it perhaps, the real reason that it's so difficult for us to act with excitement and enthusiasm is because deep down, or maybe not so deep down, we ask ourselves our following question. Why should I? Why? It's not worth it. Why should I spend the energy and try to feel a sense of excitement about something that I'm not even sure I'm making strides? I don't see any difference in my life. Why should I invest? Anybody here want to go into business? Raise your hand, please. I'm going to give you the first business lesson you're going to learn. You probably know it already. It's called cost-benefit. Cost-benefit means how much it costs versus how much you're going to make. If it costs you a lot, you'll make very little. Don't go into that business. And you're probably saying to yourself, listen, the reason why I'm not pushing myself like I could, I'm not so excited about it, is because why should I? It costs so much, it's so hard. And what am I gaining? Am I becoming better from it? Am I changing from it? Is it making me into a different person? If you haven't thought about that question before, I don't believe you. And if you have, I'd like to share with you a very, very important thought to approach that. I saw a pearl, a gem, which I want to share with you. Listen to this gem. It's a story that everyone knows. A story in the Medrash. The story is found of us to Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Akiva was 40 years old. He started to learn a little bit. And then, one time, he came to a well. Everyone knows the story. He looks down at the well, and he says, who carved out this well? How did this well come to be? They said to him, people that were around, they said to him, water. Water's falling on this well every single day, on this rock. And they made a hole in the rock, and there we had a well. And they said to him, Akiva, don't you know the pasuk that says, Avanim, Shachaku Mayim? Don't you know the pasuk that says that water
could penetrate a rock.
Says Rabbi Akiva, okay. Ding, 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 kal v'chomer. If water, which is soft, could penetrate a hard rock, and kal v'chomer, Torah, which is hard, like iron, could penetrate my heart. Says the Medrash, he went back to learn. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, in his Igeres HaMuster, Igeres Yud. Rabbi Akiva started learning. He went to go learn. And then he stopped. You know why he stopped? Because he said to himself, it's not worth it. I'm not getting anywhere. This is not doing anything for me in my life. This is not changing me. It's not making me into a better person. And then he saw the rock. And then he saw the water penetrating the rock. And then he said to himself, if water could penetrate a rock, Torah could penetrate my heart. You think it's not doing anything to you? It is. We think we're not growing at all. We think we're just doing the same thing over and over again. It's routine, it's monotonous, the same thing day in, day out. It's not true. Every single bit that we push ourselves, that we grow, that we try to develop ourselves as Ovdei Hashem makes a tremendous impact upon us. Yesterday, Daf Yomi finished Maseches Sanhedrin. Today, they start Maseches Makos, Daf Beis. I have in front of me a few books. Here's the first exhibit. Rav Pam, if you never saw him, here's a picture of him. A beautiful, beautiful Rosh Yeshiva of Torah V'das. At the 10th Siyum HaShas, Rav Pam spoke. Listen to what he said, I'm quoting his words. I wonder whether those who succeeded in learning through Shas fully realize how much they have accomplished. I do not know if a person can truly comprehend what he has achieved by learning a page of Gemara and learning a complete volume in the Talmud. How the Neshama radiates with Torah. How a person is elevated. How much spiritual gratification and joy is brought to one's ancestors, grandparents, great-grandparents in that Eden, who are descendants' preoccupation with learning Torah in spite of occasions of difficulty. We don't see it, so we say it's not worth it. We don't feel different, so we say it's not worth it. I don't want to call anybody out in this room, but I will. I sat down with Shanabekis last year, who said to me, Rebbe, I'm working so hard, I'm not feeling it. I don't see a change in my life. And they're, Bliya and I are sitting in this room, some of them, budding B'nai Torah, budding Talmidei Chacham to be. They didn't see it. You don't see it on the spot, but it happens. You don't necessarily feel it, but it's there. It's happening to us, whether we feel it and see it or not. I'll tell you a story about davening. We're going to daven mincha soon in a few minutes. I saw this amazing story brought down in one of Zilberstein's Svarim, told to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. There was a fellow in America who used to come to shul every day, three times a day, for davening. But he came every single day 10 minutes late. Religiously. You could set your watch by him. If Shabbos was 7:35, 7:45, he'd walk in out a minute before. And his rabbi would often come to him and say, my sweet Balabas, you know, if you're coming already, maybe try to come on time. You know, what's the difference? 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, I come. Sometimes we say that to our bayim in the morning. Okay, I'm a little late, but I came, I'm here. One day this fellow shows up in shul. On time. Shock. Shock. The rabbi goes over to him and says, so nice to see you, but so shocking to see you. Is everything okay? He said, I learned my lesson the hard way. What happened? I have a business. I have a factory. My factory, thank God, was doing very, very well for many years. Yesterday, a fire broke out of my factory. I tried as fast as I can to put it out. Couldn't put it out. Called the fire department. And they say, don't worry. They're on their way. They'll be there in a minute. And I'm looking out. I don't see them. And as I look at my building, I see Nebuch, room after room, department after department burning down. This is terrible. And I'm looking at my watch. 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes later, the firefighters show up. By that point, almost the entire building was burnt down to a crisp, and nothing was left. I ran to the firefighter. I said, firefighter, what took you so long? On the phone, I said, 1 minute, you're going to be here. And the firefighter said to him, look, we got here. It took us 10 more minutes. Okay, we got here. And the man said, I hit him like a ton of bricks. He said, 10 minutes? 10 minutes caused my whole factory to burn down. You know what I could do with 10 minutes of davening? You know what 10 minutes of davening could do for me in my life? You know what kind of relationship I could build with Hashem in 10 minutes? A 10 minutes extra of tefillah to come on time? I have to try to crunch my time. I want to give enough time for Mashkiach Shlita. But just two or three quick thoughts. More quick thoughts. Until now we said, number one, it's not easy. We can overcome it. Number two, we said, we may not feel movement, but it's happening to us. I want to just close with one more very important thought. How many people in this room are wearing Nike sneakers? Raise your hand, please. Don't be shy. I also own Nike sneakers. Okay. I want to remind you of Nike's motto. Nike's motto is just do it. Stella Sharon writes a beautiful thing, which is that even if a person isn't feeling it sometimes, I'm not feeling it. I wake up one morning, I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling lethargic. I'm feeling lazy. I'm feeling like not going to Seder. I'm feeling like sleeping in for davening. I'm feeling like just not doing it. Just do it. You know what's going to happen, says Mr. Sharm? When you just do it, even though if you're not feeling it right now, you know what's going to happen? You'll come to feel it. We know there's a famous expression from brought down in many Sfam, Acharei HaPa'ulos Nimshachem HaLavavos, which means when we act in a certain way, it makes us feel a certain way. Don't wait for the feeling if you're not feeling it. Just do it. Next time you're feeling tired, look down at your sneakers if you're wearing Nike. And just remind yourself, just do it. It may happen. It may take a month. It may take a week. It may take a few weeks. But it's going to happen. It happens. We all have. Every Rebbe in this room has hundreds of Talmidim that prove it. That prove this point that if you stick with it and you put effort into it, it will happen. It will change you. It will affect you. It will make you into a different person. I have more stories that I wanted to share that I don't have time. I just want to close with a pre-game pitch for the very, very exciting incentive that's about to be announced to us. If you're feeling excited about learning right now, here's a great way to apply that excitement, as you'll hear in a moment. If you're not feeling it so much right now, if you're still kind of like Shana Aleph mode and maybe it's a little hard to be feeling fully inspired right now, this could be that trigger. This could be that incentive. This could be that push, which pushes you and pushes your heart to feel it. I'll just close with this. Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, whose Yahrzeit was last Tuesday, some of us saw a documentary last Wednesday of his life, an incredible one. He was full of zrizus, full of love, full of energy beyond comprehension. Almost, he did things that make no sense. On the last page of this book, in the epilogue, it describes the following thing, we'll just like close bleeding out. Oftentimes on Simchas Torah, he couldn't walk. So they had to wheel him into the Beis Medrash on Simchas Torah. And he was sitting there in his chair. And then it came time for the song of Asher Mi Sha'amalo Batorah. Praises the person that toils in Torah. Ve'osa nachas ruach v'yotzo. And he brings nachas to his creator. And he jumped out of his seat as if he didn't have Parkinson's. As if he wasn't sick. As if he was like a yeshiva bacher with all of his energy. Because inside he was feeling so much excitement and love for Torah and for Simchas HaTorah that it exploded out of him. He went to Ida Crown Yeshiva High School. It could have been Phil in your high school. It could have been your high school that he went to. He developed in himself this thirst, this drive for Torah, and it brought him to one of the highest places imaginable in this world and certainly in the world to come. So I give us a bracha and I have a tefillah. We should take advantage of this incentive that's about to be announced. We should try our best to inspire ourselves with whatever we can in our time in yeshiva. We should all be zocha to fulfill that Gemara. Ashrei Misha Amalu Batorah, praises the person who toils in Torah, V'osa Nachas Ruach Liyotzro, and brings tremendous Nachas to his Creator.